You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
The hottest Knicks tape you'll find online. Knicks all day. We bleed blue and orange. This is Knicks Fan TV, your one-stop shop for the ultimate New York Knicks fan experience.
Throws it down.
News, rumors, debates. Post-game live streams featuring live callers.
Let's go Knicks, baby!
And now, your host, CP, the NY Fanatic.
All right, here we go. Salute to Knicks Nation. Another edition of Knicks Fan TV Live. CP the Franchise in here checking in. This is another episode of our NBA Draft Q&A, the number one show for the fans by the fans, where we give you draft coverage from the guys that cover these prospects to the fullest extent. So make sure you guys are subscribing to the channel. Hit the notification bell. Hit the thumbs up so you don't miss the next one. Tonight's guest, returning to the show, my guy Rafael Barlow, a.k.a. the NBA Draft Junkies, and making his first appearance on Knicks Fan TV, although he's contributed to this channel in many ways, making his first video appearance. My guy Alex Amarante, a.k.a. the Knicks Draft Guy. Alex, how you doing, bro?
Good, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. Welcome to the show for the first time, Rafael. Welcome back.
Glad to be back. Always. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, man. Officially 3 weeks away from the NBA draft. Rafael, I'll start with you, man. Just give me your general thoughts on this crop of prospects this year as compared to you know, even last year, years past.
I think it's lived up to the hype. I think last year's class was a little underrated, and we had so much time to analyze them that we started picking guys apart.
Yeah.
But I feel like this class is, you know, we've all been hearing about the top five guys pretty much since the beginning of this basketball season. But I think now it's starting to develop into more so like a six-player draft. I don't think the top five is as fluid as everybody thought it is, with Scottie Barnes possibly being able to move up. And then I just like the unpredictability that I'm expecting from 7 through 14. So I'm really looking forward to this draft.
It seems sort of similar to last year, you know, where that middle of the pack, once you got through, you know, halfway through the lottery, things went a little bit haywire, man. I think once Williams went up and got selected by the Bulls at 4, things kind of got crazy. But Alex, how about you, man? What's your thoughts on these draft prospects this year?
Yeah, similar thoughts. I think structure wise to last year's draft, I think, yeah, you hit the nail on the head with, you know, the top being, you know, the top, I think we have four kind of solidified top four guys, five if you want to count Kuminga in there too. And then after that, it's really a crapshoot from, you know, six all the way down to, you know, 20 maybe even.
Yeah.
You know, I have a tier in my thing that goes from 12 to 32, I think. So, like, I think it's a wide range of guys, but a lot of quality prospects as well. You know, last year's draft, I think, was a lot deeper than people thought. And so I think similar to this story, but I think the top is a little bit better in this year's draft.
Everyone's looking for the next generational talent. You know, who's going to be that guy? You're hearing Grant Hill comparisons with Cade. I mean, what do you guys think of Cade Cunningham? Is he going to be that guy?
I like him a lot. I really think that he is a franchise guy. Coming into this year, everyone thought he was going to be this great passer. That was kind of like the reputation that he had. And to my surprise, and probably to the surprise of a lot of people, he had more turnovers than assists. Mm-hmm. But what really shocked me was the shooting. I mean, he shot the ball extremely well, shot over 40% from three. And I made a case that he's arguably the best shooter in the draft, if you consider degree of difficulty. He shot 40% from three, like I mentioned, and he had to create a lot of those shots. I want to say like maybe 65 to 70% of the threes that he took were off the dribble that he created on his own. He shot about 44% on catch and shoot opportunities and 47% when he was open and catch and shoot opportunities. So if you compare those numbers to anyone else in this draft class, including his degree of difficulty, you can make a case, or at least I have made a case, that he could be the best shooter in this draft, which is something that I would not have expected at this time last year.
Alex, how about you, man? What's your take on Cade?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the shooting was kind of the one like major question mark with Cade coming in. I mean, it wasn't a bad shooter or anything at the high school or AAU level, but it wasn't his like forte or something that he went to as often. But at Oklahoma State, you kind of saw, you know, the ball was in his hands majority of the time, a lot of creation responsibility. And for him to put up those percentages in that kind of context, I think really solidified him as the number one guy in this draft. Also surprising was the defense. You know, you see a lot of stars projected number one guys might not, you know, give a hell on defense all the time, but he really, you know, seemed to take pride in his defense, was really a team leader on that end of the, at that end of the ball too. So I think, you know, showing that motor really, you know, persuaded some people that, you know, he really is a good, you know, defender as well. And then the passing, you know, the numbers weren't as pretty as people probably thought coming in, as Rafael mentioned. But when you look at the tape, he still has those flashes of, you know, absurd, you know, pass out of the pick and roll in transition. I think, you know, given his size, he can make any pass in the book, you know, with better NBA spacing around. I think his assist numbers will be fine. And then I'm assuming he'll have lesser kind of on-ball creation responsibilities for the next level. Yeah. I still think, he'll be a primary guy, but I think that'll help cut down on his turnovers.
It's going to be interesting to see what he does for the Pistons. But as it pertains to the Knicks, man, we need a floor general of our own. We need a lot. You know, we need a floor general. We need some shooting desperately at the wing or even at the point. You know, well, whatever the case may be, we definitely need talent at both of those positions on the perimeter. Knicks currently sitting with the 19th, the 21st picks in the first round, and then the 32nd pick in the second round, as well as the 58th. Now, from a point guard perspective, you know, a lot of the names we've been seeing in the mock drafts if the Knicks stay put at around 19. First person you're hearing is Sharif Cooper. We have a Sharif Cooper hive going on in the chat. We got a Trey Mann hive going on in the chat. Rafael, I'll go with you, man. How do you stack these two guys up, and who would you feel like is the best fit for the Knicks?
It's funny because on my first mock, I think I had them selecting Cooper. On my last one, I had them selecting Mann. And I saw both hives. I saw the negatives. I saw the people that liked the picks. So I don't think you can go wrong. I think they're different players. Trey Mann's strength right now is his ability to create his own shot. I mean, he shot the ball, similar to Kate, shot the ball well from three when he had to create a lot of his attempts. Don't know if he's really like a... I mean, I guess what is a pure point guard in today's NBA? He's not the floor general as Cooper, but he's bigger. He may be a better defender. He's just not as exciting. Cooper is going to bring like this excitement and this buzz that I imagine New York Knicks fans are going to love. Questions about his shooting. I mean, shot like 23% from three, if I'm not mistaken. Wasn't efficient, but he averaged 8 assists per game, which is a crazy number in college basketball.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. Alex, how do you stack these guys up, man, and Cooper?
Yeah, they're in the same tier for me, and both guys that I really like and I think fit well with the Knicks. You know, Sharif, I think he's probably the best, you know, live dribble passer, pick and roll manipulator in the class. And just the way he's able to draw fouls, similar to a Trey Young, you know, smaller guy. Not afraid to get in the paint and take contact. I think something like almost 50% of his offense was, you know, at the rim at Auburn. And for a guy who you know, despite what the initial NBA combine measurements say, he was, I think, well under 6 foot, or maybe, you know, exactly 6 foot, and definitely not the 6'4" that was initially reported. That seemed to be a mistake. But yeah, again, the passing, I think, will translate fine, even as lesser size. And then, yeah, the shooting is the one question mark. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, just the different kind of passing that he'll able to do, lobs, you know, to Mitch on the roll, to Obi, things like that. I think he could fit, you know, right in with the Knicks offense. And then Trey Mann, yeah, totally different kind of point guard, combo guard, you know, probably one of the best off the dribble shooters in this draft, good size of 6'4", 6'5". You know, his struggles is kind of getting to the rim and athleticism and kind of the quick first step. That's one thing that he'll need to really improve on to kind of become a better scorer at the next level and not just have to rely on those step backs and sidestep shots that, you know, he was hitting at Florida. And again, not as skilled as a passer, but he can make the simple reads out of pick and roll. So, you know, another guy that I really like for the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, I can see both positives to both guys, right? I think from a Cooper standpoint, we just need a floor general that can get these guys going. You know, the thing with Peyton, obviously Tibbs loved that Peyton was a guy that could dribble penetrate, you know, at will. Finishing was a disaster. His shooting was a disaster. But I think part of the reason why he kept staying loyal to Peyton was his ability to attack the rim. And obviously what Tibbs has said is that he liked the size and, you know, switchability on the defensive end where he didn't get burned. Now, fans may disagree on that, but that was from the coach. From a Cooper standpoint, I think just having a guy that can break down the defense and make plays, as you said, Alex, get those lobs over to Mitch. You know, Mitch's injury really hurt RJ Barrett. You know, just not having, you know, a capable guy to throw those lobs to. But I think Cooper can get us going in the pick and roll, whether it's RJ, whether it's Julius, you know, somebody to get Julius some open shots, which just wasn't there consistently last year. Now, the shooting is definitely a concern. Obviously, we saw that with Peyton last year. I believe, where was his free throw shooting this year, though? I believe his free throw shooting was pretty decent, right?
Yeah, I think it was over 80%. I want to say like 82 or something.
Yeah, Cooper. Yeah, yep.
So I don't, you know, from a free throw shooting standpoint, I mean, how do you guys feel like, you know, what do you think his chances are of improving his jumper at the next level, given the fact that, you know, he was proficient from the free throw line?
I think they're high. I mean, I think he has good touch. I think he needs to speed up his shot. He has a slower release. And if you have a slower release and you're undersized, I think it can turn an open shot into a contested shot. So those are the two biggest things, or the biggest thing that I feel like he needs to work on with his shot is just getting it up faster and maybe even jumping. I know Chris Paul doesn't necessarily jump on his shot when he shoots threes. He seems like he barely gets off the ground on his mid-range, but he's able to mix you up with his ball handling and to create space. So I think Cooper may need to study a lot of Chris Paul tape, but I'm not too concerned about the shooting right now. I mean, I think he'll be able to develop, but the flip side of that is I think the Knicks are trying to win right now. So right. I don't know how much time he's going to have to really develop. So he's going to have to put in some work in the offseason, whether it's for the Knicks or for any other team.
Definitely going to have to show and prove. I mean, I think something that will benefit him is that quickly got some burn. You know, quickly did get some burn last year. I think they did give him an opportunity to play some point in certain spots, you know, where Tibbs felt like he could succeed. So, obviously, his elite shooting ability was something that we desperately needed on the court. So, I think that's what kept him on, you know, kept him with consistent minutes during this season. But, you know, quickly definitely did get some opportunities there at the lead guard. You know, Cooper's definitely interesting. I think from a man standpoint, I like the fact that this kid can just go get buckets, right? He may not be, you know, your pure point guard. I'm not sure how many of those guys are left in the league anymore. You know, I think a lot of these guys have a bit of combo aspects to them, you know, where you just got to go out there and get a bucket. And that's what I like about Mann. And I think he could fit just as much, you know, especially from the off-ball prowess. You know, you have instances where Julius has helped, you know, initiate offense for the Knicks. RJ has helped initiate some offense for the Knicks. We'll see where they go at the three. You know, maybe they get somebody at the three that can be a capable playmaker as well. So he may not kill you. You know, some of the knocks I've seen with Man is that, you know, doesn't finish strong, doesn't play physical. What do you guys think about some of those knocks that that the critics are dishing out on Man?
Yeah, he's pretty skinny. So he'll definitely have to put on some muscle. I think his finishing numbers were like right around average when you're looking at synergy. I think he struggled a little bit getting to the rim, which, you know, it's not going to get any easier at the next level. Well, he does have a really good handle, but a lot of those moves are kind of going side to side or backwards. Doesn't have that many. You know, I mentioned the quick first step before. He doesn't really have the best bursts. When he beats guys off the dribble, it's more so for a pull-up jumper and not getting all the way to the rim. So it's definitely something that he'll need to kind of work on is getting to the rim, and even getting to the free throw line more, I think, will be huge. That's something that Sharif Cooper really does well.
Yeah. What's interesting is at least the guys that I feel like are point guards, these are the two worst finishing guards at the rim. Right. Man shot like 59.7% at the rim. Only one that shot lower was Cooper, which is concerning because Man is, I mean, they had him listed at 6'5". I don't remember what the measurements were at the combine, but it's concerning when you have a guy that's 6'5" and he shoots below 60% at the rim. And I think that is directly related to his lack of explosiveness, the lack of first step. And then as far as Cooper, I mean, we know that his struggles at the rim are more so related to his size, but I think Cooper would be a better finisher with space. Whether or not the Knicks have the floor spacing that's going to get him those clean looks is to be determined. Yeah. But it's interesting. Like I said, these two guys are the guys that I saw on my list as point guards were the at the bottom as far as finishing, as far as like first round prospects.
And that definitely, you know, just in terms of the mix with this current lineup, yeah, that's one of the downsides, because you have both Julius and RJ who don't finish well at the rim whatsoever. And so that's certainly an issue. And we'll see, you know, how these guys can do at the next level. But I think, you know, from a Cooper standpoint, at 19, listen, everyone's going to be flawed at that point, right? You know, if he was a great, you know, all-around player, he'd be selected much higher, especially with his playmaking prowess. So you're going to have to gamble on one of these weaknesses, you know, turning around to be somewhat adequate or even good, you know, whether it's Cooper or Trey Mann. So we'll see where they go on July 29th. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. CP here with Rafael Barlow, the NBA Draft Junkies, and Alex Amarante, Knicks Draft Guy. Call in with your questions, 657-383-1509. Or you can also hit us up on the Discord, on the Knicks Fan TV Discord. First caller up, we're going to go down to San Antonio, go down to the Alamo. My guy Chris is checking in. And he wants to weigh in on the Cooper and Man debate. Chris, how you feeling, bro?
How you doing, panel? How you doing, CP?
Good, bro. How you doing, man? Long time.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I just wanted to ask a question for Rafa and then question after that. But Rafael had Obi in his mock draft last year, and we felt the way about that, but it actually happened. So I'm wondering between the guards that we have in our range are possible to select, I guess, between Man Cooper or anybody else. Because I know Pee Wee likes Darte too. Who they think is the best fit, or who you guys think is the best fit with Obi specifically? And then I also wanted to know, I feel like in terms of playoffs, you know, we want to get back to the playoffs. There was a conversation yesterday, like, do we take the wins that we had this year and just try to improve, or do we try to improve on the wins that we actually had and get back into the playoffs and make a deeper run? I feel like you can't do that without an all-star guard, right? So whether or not any of these players are going to be an all-star guard, I'm wondering in terms of draft prospects, what you look at specifically for a player, looking at something that jumps off the board. Like when you look at a player who you feel like has a higher ceiling that other guys aren't looking at, what are the specific things that you're looking for? And then between the players that we have at our range, what kind of aspects from those attributes that you pick up on do you see from those players that we could potentially pick up?
I did have them taking Obi last year, and I was high on Julius Randle.
Yeah,
Randle.
You did. You did predict the Julius turnaround. You did predict the Julius turnaround, man. I got to give you credit for both.
And
of those,
I even
bro.
Said I'm a Blazers fan. I wanted Julius in Portland.
True story.
And I remember guys saying they'll help me pack his bag. So I feel like I took a lot of heat for that, and the turnaround was great for New York. As far as players, I think the player that could probably help New York the most, I know point guard is a position of need, but I feel like Duarte could really come in. And I'm Chris Duarte from Oregon. Mm-hmm. He's a little older. He may not have the super high upside, but I think he's ready to come in and contribute. He gives size at the wing. I know the Knicks were one of the, if I'm not mistaken, a pretty good team as far as shooting from deep, but it did not translate in the playoffs.
Yeah, so they were efficient. They finished fifth in efficiency. Not much volume, but they did finish strong. They did finish the season strong for sure.
Yeah, and I felt like in the playoffs, you didn't. They needed. I felt like they needed more shooters.
Needed
I felt
so
like
much
they
more,
had
bro.
Trouble manufacturing points. But yeah, I mean, I think Duarte would be a really good fit.
Yeah. I agree with you, man. And the thing about Duarte is that he can put the ball on the floor. I think that's another thing that hurt our wings was that, you know, RJ, to me, sometimes he got clamped up by Hunter. You know, you had Reggie Bullock getting clamped up by Trae Young, but mostly because he can't put the ball on the floor. And RJ's still a work in progress when it comes to that. And I thought Hunter did a spectacular job just defending all of our big three. So we just didn't have that versatility out of our wings. I thought... you know, Burks gave you a good effort, just a little bit too erratic. And so, you know, to Chris's first question, yeah, I definitely think we need to upgrade at the wing. And then as far as who would be the best prospect for Obi and Alex, I'll want your opinion on this too. I think it's Cooper. Because Obi's a guy that he needs that point guard to help him, whether it's out in transition. We didn't have any pick and roll with Obi noticeable or memorable. Actually, with D-Rose. When D-Rose first came and they were in Miami, he had some nice 1-2 game pick and roll there. But consistently, we didn't have a point guard that could consistently get Obi going in the pick and roll. And I think Cooper would be tailor-made for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I think, yeah, getting Obi into more pick and rolls as the role man, I think, is key for his development this next season. I wasn't a huge fan of how they utilized him.
Yeah.
A lot as kind of just a corner spot up shooter. A lot of the time, just given the spacing, and if he was playing with Julius, you know, Julius was mostly in the paint, things like that. So I think, having Sharif in there running a lot of pick and rolls. You know, I mentioned the lobs before. I think it'd be electric in Madison Square Garden. I think the fans would love that connection. So yeah, I think he would be kind of the best pairing for a guy at 19 or 21 to go alongside Obi.
And what about Duarte? You had Duarte up on your list of guards for the Knicks as well. What do you like about him?
He's definitely a first round guy. You know, I think he's going to be 24 at the draft, like Rafael mentioned. Yeah. So, but that's the only real knock on him. I mean, you know, Rafael mentioned Cade as being maybe the best shooter in the draft. Duarte's right up there with him. You know, I think he shot 44% from three this past season.
50-40, right?
Yeah, I think he's a 50-40. Mm-hmm. High 80 guy, yeah, and it was a heavy diet, like a decent diet of a mix of, you know, catch and shoot and off the dribble. So it wasn't just, you know, stand still shooting,
right?
That was more so, you know, Trey Murphy is another prospect linked to the Knicks. A lot more of his stuff is more just catch and shoot, which he did incredibly well. Yeah. But Duarte's got more of the kind of off the dribble shooting.
I'm going to want to get to Murphy and the wings in a second. Rafael, what about Jaden Springer? Yeah, Jaden Springer on the list of guards that you had liked. What's your thoughts on him?
Not a sexy pick. his game is, it's effective. Mm. The concern I had for him was I felt like he was too passive. And when I first saw him play, I'm probably going to get flamed for this. When I first saw him play, the same exact notes that I had about Frank Ntilikina in 2018 are the notes that I had about Springer. Kind of like
it's a divisive name on Knicks Nation.
A little bit of a combo guard, maybe not as assertive as you would like. Passes up open shots, defensive upside, can defend multiple positions. Those are like the basis of what I've had for Springer and Ntilikina. So I know that wouldn't be popular.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know if the Frank Hive is heavy in here. France just played today. I didn't see the result. I didn't catch the Frank highlights, man. But you know, FIBA Frank is a different guy, man. FIBA Frank is a much more aggressive type of player, man.
I was actually in China for the World Cup, and that's not the same guy that on the Knicks.
It's not the same guy, man. Alex, do you have any thoughts on Springer?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the same. I mean, he's not a sexy pick, but he does everything pretty well. Doesn't have any major flaws. Some people will say he lacks athleticism, but he's actually a pretty explosive leaper. I think the issue
translate on the floor.
Exactly. The issue is that everything's off of 2 feet. So you'll see him like driving towards the lane and going up for a layup is off 2 feet. Everything that he tries to do is off 2 feet, comes to a jump stop a lot instead of kind of exploding towards the rim. So stuff like that, but I think that could all be ironed out eventually. Solid defender. He's got an NBA ready body at, 18, 19 years old. So you don't really see many of those guys come through. So, I think he's a guy worth looking at in 1921. I think he's definitely has some upside that probably, I think Johnny O'Brien can probably get some more oomph out of him.
You know what? And the thing that could help as far as if Springer is available to the Knicks, Donovan Mitchell had the same issue coming out of Louisville. He jumped off of 2 feet. And Bryant was there in Utah. Whether he's the one that got him to work on jumping off of 1 foot and being more creative around the rim, that could be something to consider there. Because I know Mitchell gives Bryant a lot of credit for his development.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Interesting. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys. It's another episode of the NBA Draft Q&A. CP here. I got my guys, Rafael Barlow, the NBA Draft Junkie, Alex Amarante, Knicks Draft Guy in here answering your questions. 657-383-1509 is the number. Shout out my guy, JD Sports Talk. Sends a super chat. He says, in 5 years, who is the best player in the draft and who will be a bust? Fellas, what are you thinking? Best player in this draft. In 5 years, what are you thinking?
I think it's Cade.
I'm gonna go with Cade.
Be boring. Go with the boring pick.
And what about a bust? Who do you think is gonna fall flat?
Whew. So the guy that I feel like has the biggest bust or all-star potential is Kai Jones. I feel like if he's an all-star in 5 years, I wouldn't be shocked. If he's playing for Panathinaikos in Greece, that wouldn't shock me either. So I think he has a wide range, maybe even Zaire Williams also. Mm-hmm. But Kai Jones is a guy that, he's definitely a swing for the fences pick, high upside guy. But I also see like he has a lot of flaws and his game is raw and he could be out of the league soon. So
interesting.
That's my pick.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. I was going to say Zaire. Or Keon Johnson. I think, kind of different prospects. Zaire is kind of, 6'8", two guard / wing, can make his own shot off the dribble, but does anything else translate? We'll see. He's got body concerns. Well,
it's the numbers show that he did it. But I feel like he's been living off of his high school hype. I mean, he was highly regarded coming into this year as a top 10 pick. His film is bad, just being honest with you. If you watch his film, it's bad. I mean, there could have been some factors involved. Stanford was a team without a home.
Definitely had a weird season, like Stanford overall. And him with the knee brace going on and then COVID protocols and stuff. But, him and then Keon, I think, obviously an incredible athlete. Is he an incredible basketball player? I don't think anyone knows. So I think if everything clicks for him, he's a multi-time all-star. If he doesn't, then he could be out of the league. Minus the injuries, hopefully.
Dante Exum. Let's see what people in the chat are saying. I'm seeing a lot of Greg Browns. Shout out Justin Archer. Zogod saying Greg Brown could be the guy. I'm seeing some Franz Wagners in here. Greg Castillo says Franz Wagner is going out like Dario Saric in this thing. I don't know, man. What do you guys think? Franz Wagner could be the bust. We're seeing some maker in there, JT Thor. All right,
so. Abu Baji's my guy. I saw someone, Sherwin, just mentioned
yeah.
that.
Abu Baji. Okay. All right. Shout out to Sherwin. If you guys are new in the chat, leave us a hashtag new. We'll shout you guys out. Before we get to the phones, I see my guy Jay from East New York is on the phone. Jay, just remember, no speakerphone. But before we get to Jay, Rafael, some Knicks news has broken today. Broken by you. So you're on a roll, man. You predicted the Obi pick. You predicted the Julius turnaround. And now one, what's this guy's name? Vrenz?
Vrenz Blindberg.
Vrenz Blindberg has been interviewed by the Knicks in this upcoming draft, man. Tell us a little bit about Vrenz Blindberg.
Vrenz is someone that I feel like I was early to the party on. I think I did a video on him. I want to say it was probably back in maybe November, maybe even earlier than that. 6'10", can handle the ball, play makes, decent shooter. He's agile. He's I think he has first round talent, but he's been playing in Belgium. I feel like if he played in France or Italy or Spain or a country that has a reputation for producing NBA talent, then I think he would be more highly regarded. He had offers to some of the Power Five schools and even offers to go play for some of the bigger clubs in Europe, but he decided to stay home in Belgium. So I think that's played a role in him being underrated. But if you watch his film, I mean, it's hard not to like what you see. Again, he's 6'10". He can handle the ball. He can run pick and rolls. He had a good connection.
6'10". So, I mean, we're talking about a three or a four here. Maybe a stretch four.
Maybe a two.
Yeah, I mean, like, if people like Pokuševski, and actually the video I made, I said, is he the next Pokuševski? He's older than Pokuševski by maybe a year or two, but similar as far as just like this positionless guy that is in the right system can be a weapon that you can run four or five pick and rolls for. You can run 2-4, whatever. So I'm really high on Vrenz. And I think that, well, based off my knowledge, I knew that he went to this combine in Minnesota, and I've been, you know, staying in contact with him. And he told me that he did well. And so once he told me, he's like, I did so well that the Knicks are bringing me in for a workout on Saturday. So I was like, can I break this? And so, yeah, I was able to break the news. And
dope.
So that was I gained a lot of followers on Twitter.
The Blindberg hive is coming through. All right, could be an option. I don't know if it's an option at 58 or 32, or maybe they move up somewhere in between and you know, potentially look at this kid. But interesting.
I honestly think he's a first round talent. I do. I feel like if he would have went to school at Arizona and some of the schools that wanted him, I think that he'd be more well known. And again, like if you watch the film, there's a lot of tools that he has that teams are really high on. So It's not shocking to me that he went to this combine in Minnesota and all of a sudden teams are starting to bring him
starting
in.
Starting to rise up. Shit. Definitely look like he can shoot, man. Alex, have you seen this kid?
Yeah, I've watched a few games of his. I have him in, I think, the low 40s, but I would take him at 32. I think he's worth the shot there. Yeah, 6'10", guard skills, can fly in transition. I think the speed really pops off the film when you watch him. The only real concerns I have is on the defensive end. He'll definitely need to fill out a little bit more. Yeah. I think he has over the past year or two. I saw pictures of him when he was like 19. He was rail thin, and now it looks like he put on some muscle. So, I think he's going to be, you know, a really versatile offensive weapon. I think the defense is just something that he'll definitely have to work on and I'm sure it'll improve on.
Yeah, one of the things that he mentioned to me was he said when he played at like the under 16s, he was known as a shooter. He was a really good shooter. But he said once he started trying to lift weights and bulk up, it messed up his shot. So he felt like this year was the first year that he started to feel comfortable with his shot. So the numbers were okay. I know at the beginning of the season, maybe like the first 10 or 15 games, he was at around 38% from three. It kind of tailed off as the season went on. But just from talking to him, I do know that he said that was his main weapon prior to putting on weight was his shooting. So based off of that, and according to him, of course, that once he fills out, it's going to translate and that's going to be his main weapon again.
Interesting. Okay. So that's Vrenz Blindberg. For people in the chat, we'll see, man. A name to potentially keep an eye out on. So see how that plays out. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Let's get those likes up. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Another edition of the NBA Draft Q&A. CP, Raphael, and Alex in here. All right, let's go back to the Discord. Let's go to Jay from East New York. Jay from East New York, what's going on, bro?
Hello?
Yo, what's good, bro?
All right, so I did a little bit of research, and as far as point guards, girl, I'm still high on Bones Highland, but I also forgot about Jason Preston. Like, can you guys, like, give a little bit more insight on him? And also somebody that stood out in the draft combine, Quentin Grimes. I can't really say he's a two or a one. I feel like he could play one through three, but, like, how do you guys feel about him, like those two guys?
So we got Bones Highland, we got Jason Preston, and Quentin Grimes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Those are my guys. I'm looking at them three right now.
Appreciate the call, man. Appreciate the call, bro. All right, fellas, what are we thinking? Let's go Bones Highland first.
You can take it first.
All right, yeah. So, Bones, he played at VCU, so smaller school. He's the definition of a shot maker at the guard position. He did play in the pick and roll a bunch. He was their main guard there. I think he can make, you know, similar reads to like a Trey Mann, simple pick and roll reads, nothing too advanced. I don't know if he's going to play, you know, we brought up this topic multiple times already, like a true point guard position. What does it even mean? But, I think, he can run a few pick and rolls, during a game. I don't know if it's someone that you're going to throw the ball to and start all of your offensive sets with, but I think he could be a play finisher for sure. He's got range out to 35 feet. I mean, he can do pull-up step backs. He's got everything in the bag in terms of, you know, the shot creation. That's why I'm pretty high on him in the 20s. I would take him at 21 if he's on the board there. And then, you know, Raphael, I don't know if you have any more thoughts on Bones.
Yeah, I like Bones a lot. He kind of reminds me of Lou Williams in a sense, where early in Lou's career, they were trying to make him a point, but he wasn't a point. And then once he got into a role of your job is to come off the bench and get buckets, he was able to settle in and kind of make a name for himself there. I think Bones is similar. He's a scorer. He's a guy that when you put him in pick and roll, it's for him to get buckets as opposed to create for others. But I like him. I think that he's someone that can come in and provide instant offense. I don't know if you're expecting him to be your point guard, if you're going to get the best out of him.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
I think Preston was the next guy he had mentioned.
Yeah, so do you want to start, Raphael?
Yeah, I can do Preston. Preston is, I think, like the first or second video I did this season was on Jason Preston, and it was after the big game against Illinois. By far the best story in the draft. I'm sure the networks are going to eat that up. For those that don't know, he was like a backup in high school, and I think he went to school to be like a journalism major, then went to, I don't know, was it like a prep school or something crazy.
So he got invited to play on one of his friends' AAU teams or something, and then some scout saw him and said, hey, you should go to prep school and play basketball.
And then he's like, you know, a projected draft pick. The funny thing is, and this may be funny to some, but if his name was Jason Ball, he'd be a lottery pick. He looks like the fourth Ball brother.
Yeah, he actually plays like him
too. Yep. He has the size. He has the creativity off the dribble. I mean, as far as passing creativity, he's a good rebounder. He shoots the ball well. I wonder if his name was Jason Ball, would we be higher on him than Jason Preston? Because nobody really knew much about him. I mean, he is the epitome of a late bloomer and underdog.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, he's great passer, one of the best passers in the draft. The only real question with him on that end is the athleticism. He didn't really show much athleticism at Ohio.
But I thought he showed some at the combine. Like,
yeah, I've seen people, you know, shooting the numbers, and then in the games, he looked a little more athletic. But like at Ohio, it looked like he needed kind of a ball screen to create anything. He struggled to kind of create for himself. But yeah, a guy, you know, I think as a mid second rounder, I think, you know, you know, at that point, you want to take someone who has a bankable skill. And I think the passing is a bankable skill at the next level.
What do you think of his shooting? I know the numbers look good. It's like 40% from three over the last couple of years, if I'm not mistaken. But the free throw percentage is concerning.
Yeah, I think again, he's a guy that needs space to get the shot off and feel comfortable. I don't think he shot it very well at the combine, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have the numbers or anything, but I think he'll be okay. I don't think he's going to be any sort of advanced kind of shot creator. Right. But if he's playing off ball, I think he could make catch and shoot threes. I wouldn't expect too much kind of off the dribble shooting from him, but you know, hopefully he can get better in that aspect.
Yes. Shout out Dom 120 says he's a Dollar Tree LaMelo.
He is the tall, lanky point guard in the past. So.
Yeah.
And then lastly, we have Quentin Grimes, who I guess was the star of the combine in terms of the scrimmages. Definitely showed out. Seems like he could have raised his draft stock. What do you guys think about Quentin Grimes out of H-Town, University of Houston?
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You've worked hard for what you have. Your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.
Yeah, I think he's kind of on the Bones Highland kind of spectrum in terms of point guards, if you want to call it point guards. He is a bucket getter. He shot the ball really well this year at Houston, a lot better than his previous years in college before he transferred. So I think time will tell with the shooting. I think with the larger sample, I think he'll kind of show. And I've heard people kind of have that as still a question mark, be like, is the shooting numbers real? Kind of like a Davion Mitchell bump he had this year. I think he's good. He's going to be a good scoring combo guard, I don't know if he's a guy that I would kind of, again, initiate my offense through, time and time again.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I feel like he's living up to the hype that he had coming into college. He went to Kansas. I think he had like a really good game at the beginning of his freshman season, and then it just kind of went
Downhill. It was like the first game. I think it was like the first game.
Like one of those tournaments, right? One of
I think against Duke, I think he like went off for like high 20s in points or something. And then after that was, not great.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, I agree 100% with everything they said.
That is Quentin Grimes. What do you guys think in the chat? Bones Highland, Jason Preston, and Quentin Grimes. Leave us a comment in the chat and we'll get back to you guys. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Let me see if we got any hashtag news. If you guys are new in the chat, welcome to the show as well. Make sure we get those likes up. Another edition of the NBA Draft Q&A. Remember, guys, that this show, as usual, is presented by Manscaped, the number one men's grooming tool below the waist. Go out and get the new Lawnmower 4.0. You will not regret it. This is the Ferrari of ball trimmers, fellas. Do not go without it. It's summertime. It's hot out there. You got to make sure that you turn the AC on downstairs, and it starts with the new and improved Lawnmower 4.0. It's got the nice matte black finish. Look at that thing, it's shining in the light. You have the LED light, which is now a spotlight. So, you know, you can do it in the dark, whatever you're into. Or, you know, it's raining out here in New York and the lights might go out. You can use it as a flashlight, man. So very versatile. It's a Lawnmower 4.0. It's got the ceramic blade skin safe technology to cut down on those nicks. Not the good nicks, the bad nicks. You know, you definitely don't want those. And, remember to go to manscaped.com, enter promo code NYX for 20% off plus free shipping. That's manscaped.com, promo code NYX for 20% off plus free shipping. And also, they just released the Performance Package 4.0. So you get the Lawnmower 4.0. You get the ball deodorant, the ball toner. So it all comes in a package, man. You won't be left without. You won't be left sorry, fellas. So make sure you go to Manscaped and go salute our guys. All right, let's get to the phones. Let's hear from Jason. Let's go to the LES. Jason in the building. Jason, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, good. I'm Jason Meredith on Twitter, so I just want to throw that out. I want to ask a question for Raphael.
Mm-hmm. What up, Jason?
So last year you called us drafting Obi Toppin. And all of us were like, no, we're not going to do that. And you said you had, like, there's a good connection between the Knicks and him. Do you know who the Knicks are drafting this year?
No, I mean, that was CAA. Like, you know, that was
CAA.
The thing.
You put the two and two together, right?
Yeah, so Julius is CAA.
Oh, I thought you had more inside info.
No, I mean, just Knicks history, CAA. I mean, I used to work with Chris Douglas Roberts when he was in Knicks camp a few years ago. And I know one of the reasons he didn't make the team was because CAA had J.R. Smith's brother and they gave him like $500,000 to play like two games or something like that. So yeah, once Leon Rose officially took the title and Obi signed with CAA, I just kind of put two and two together. It wasn't like I had some real inside information. So I'd have to look and see who CAA's draft class is this year. So
oddly enough, Davion Mitchell, CAA.
Yeah. And I mean, I just did a mock draft right before this one, he actually fell to number 20. And so he would actually be a good fit for New York.
I would love to have him. And I'm guessing, Jason, well, this is what you're alluding to. You'd like to trade up for him if he's available?
No, I don't actually. Like him, but I think he's in the same tier as Trey Mann and Sharif Cooper. Like, I don't think he's better than those guys.
Okay.
So I wouldn't want the Knicks to trade up and get him. If he fell to us, I would be very happy. I mean, if we have to trade up a few spots, like we use 32 to get up to like 17, I would be happy. But I don't want the Knicks to like trade both picks to move up to like 12 and get him. I don't think he's better than Sharif Cooper and Trey Mann. I think he's in the same tier. What do you guys think?
Yeah, he's divisive, man. Like, I've seen him as high as 7 on some boards. I know I had him in the top 10. And I mean, it just depends on how you feel about the shot. Nice shot. I want to say like 42, 43, maybe 44% from three, but it was an outlier season. The free throw percentage is still in the 60s. The Donovan Mitchell comparisons are kind of lazy.
That's a terrible comparison.
That's crazy. It's
they look alike, same jersey, same last name, a little bit.
That's it, yeah. Man.
But the difference is obviously the size. Mitchell's bigger. The wingspan is like 7 inches shorter for Davion, and Davion does not get to the foul line despite him having burst and athleticism. He just, you know he's gonna shoot a pull-up jumper.
Like, it's not the shooting that worries me, it's the is he gonna be able to like finish at all, like when he goes to the back rim or draw
fouls?
Doesn't he
get there.
So I actually think of him as more of, I think a better comp than Pat Bev is like, I mean, sorry, than Donovan Mitchell is like Pat Beverly with some playmaking.
Yeah, that could be true. But, you know, the funny thing is I just saw something about the, maybe like 2008, they had a USA team that played at this FIBA tournament. And Steph Curry was on the team. I forgot who else was on the team, but Pat Bev was the leading scorer. maybe Pat just has accepted a role to be a pest. Maybe he has more offensive game than we really know about.
I actually like Jared Butler over Davion Mitchell. You talk about Baylor guards.
Hey, he said he likes Jared Butler over Davion Mitchell.
Yeah, I mean, I think to me, I like Davion Mitchell a little bit, but they're right there. Like, to me, those guys and Miles McBride, they're all kind of right there. I like Cooper and Mann more than probably all those guys, but they're all, like, in the same level to me. That's why I don't get why he jumped so high up, Davion Mitchell.
March Madness.
The last thing I'll say, and then I'll get off, is I don't think there's anyone worth trading up for the Knicks to do. Like, anyone worth, like, packaging both picks to go up and get. Like, I'm not crazy about Booknight. I like him, but I'm not crazy about him like all these other fans. I think if the Knicks stay, they'll get two good players at 19 and 21. What do you think?
I like Booknight. So I was just in Miami last week, and the gym that I was creating some content at, he was there working out. I wish I would have been able to film him and get some videos of it, but the agents weren't allowing that. So I had a chance to, like I said, watch and work out for 3 or 4 days. The one question I had about him was catch and shoot. I think he shot like 29% from three. The shot looked well. I mean, it looked really good in these workouts. But again, there was nobody there as far as like playing defense. But he also, based off of what I read, shot the ball really, really well at the combine. So the shot looked good to me. If there is a player, depending on where he's at, like if he starts to slip past New Orleans, then I think it may be worth, you know, trying to trade up and get him.
I would try to go get him. Yeah. I would try to go get him. I like Kispert too, bro. I like Kispert for the Knicks, man. I don't know. I'm seeing mock drafts where, you know, I think Bleacher Report, they had him at 14 to Golden State. If he's within that range, you know, Golden State has 7 and 14, I would try to give him a call and try to get up there and see if one of these guys slip.
Yeah. I mean, somebody's going to slip, whether it's Mitchell, whether it's Keon Johnson, Kispert, Jalen Johnson. Those are the guys that I think are more likely to slip. But I don't know if any of those guys would be worth trading up. Booknight, yes, I would try to trade up for Booknight.
Alex, how about you, man?
Yeah, overall, I think I would stay put at 19, 21 for the most part. You know, Booknight is a guy who I like as well. I think he's got a lot of potential. I think the shot, you know, took a dip this year, but he also got injured halfway through the year. Before the injury, he was shooting the ball a lot better than after. So
Creighton for 40.
Yep.
I'm from Nebraska, so I'm from Omaha. So I keep up with Creighton, and a 40 ball, a good, easy 40 also.
And a pretty efficient, pretty efficient 40 too. So he's one name. You know, Moses Moody is another one, who, you know, might fall to that 14 range, who, if he's there and the price is, you know, not bad, I might scoop him up. He's a guy that I like, you know, out of Arkansas, wing. But for the most part, I think 19, 21, you know, as we mentioned before, there's a pretty wide gap, or not gap, pretty wide range of prospects that should be there, wings, guards. I think those are the two kind of positions of need for the Knicks right now. So I wouldn't mind staying put at 19, 21, grabbing one of each.
Yeah. And then along the lines of the wings, another guy whose draft positioning I just can't get a handle of is Trey Murphy, man. He's a guy I like, though, man. I think, you know, in this wing oriented league, having that versatility, you know, 6'9" guy, can guard threes, can guard fours. Obviously he's a splash brother in his own, you know, more stationary than putting the ball on the floor, but I still like his defensive intensity. I think he could be a Tibbs guy and a guy that, you know, you can use in multiple positions to give you some versatility out there, man. I know Alex, you had Murphy up there and Raphael, you as well, right?
Yeah.
I have him right around where the Knicks are picking. Knockdown shooter at 6'9". tough. I think he has a 7-foot wingspan or close to it. So, you know, why not? I mean, it's what every NBA team is looking for. I mean, look at a guy like Cam Johnson right now for the Suns, who's been killing in the playoffs for them. I think he fits into pretty much any team, that kind of archetype as, you know, a wing shooter who can, you know, defend threes and fours.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Cam Johnson comparison because we laughed on draft day when he was selected in the lottery. Mm-hmm. And Phoenix, I don't know if this was their plan, if they knew that they were going to be at where they are today, or they were high on them. But either way, that was more so a pick for fit as opposed to best player available. And if Trey Murphy ends up having a similar situation, that wouldn't surprise me. The scary thing for him is if the further he falls, he's going to end up going to one of these playoff teams, one of these good playoff teams, and really helping them, whether it's like a Philly or Brooklyn or Utah, somebody at the late in the first round. So he's going to end up more than likely in a position where he goes to a playoff team. And I think he's going to be able to come in and contribute right away, similar to how Desmond Bane did for Memphis this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this kid, man. Hopefully he's around. He could be an option at 21. Maybe he's 32, but it sounds like he could be gone before that. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. CP Alex Raphael in here, another edition of the NBA Draft Q&A. Couple minutes before tip-off. Shout out to Dave. Somebody in the chat had asked who the Knicks had interviewed so far. I just texted Ian Begley to see if he had an updated list in here back from just yet. But as of June 25th, the most recent information I have is that they met with Scottie Barnes, Jalen Johnson, Jaden Springer, Book Knight. They met with Kispert.
Sounds like they're trying to move up.
Well, yeah. So, obviously, some of these guys are out of their range, but they also interviewed Jared Butler. They interviewed Bones Highland, Zaire Williams, Miles McBride, Joshua Primo from Alabama, Aaron Wiggins, Jose Alvarado, Georgia Tech, Mack McClung, Texas Tech, Alan Griffin out of Syracuse, Marcus Zagorowski out of Creighton, Geo Baker from Rutgers, Trey Murphy, Tyson Etienne, Wichita State, Luke Garza from Iowa, Moses Wright, Georgia Tech, and Fardaws I Make from Utah Valley. So that's the list that I have so far. That was as of June 25th.
Yeah, it sounds like they're going to move up, or the agents are allowing guys that are projected to go so high to interview with the Knicks because it's the Knicks. I don't think if the Kings were picking where the Knicks are, those guys would have even got an interview.
Probably not, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I got to think they're going to be aggressive, though, Alex. I mean, last year should you know, be an indicator. I mean, I've never seen them able to maneuver that way in previous years, man. They had these moves ready to go from day one, you know, being able to jump up to go get Obi, and then jump up again to get IQ. They definitely had their ducks in a row.
Yeah, no, I think if they have, you know, a certain guy in mind and he's there at, you know, 10, 11, 12 or something like that, I'm sure Leon and company will be on the phones trying to move up to get their guy. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Absolutely, man. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. What would you guys in the chat want to do? Do you want to stay put? As Alex said, he likes to stay put at 19 and 21, 32 as well. Or do you want to move up? And if you want to move up, is there a person that you're looking to get? Leave me a comment in the chat and I'll shout you guys out. And in the meantime, I want to go to the closer of the night. My guy JD at JD Sports Talk is going to close the show. JD, how you feeling, bro?
CP.
What's good, buddy? How you doing, man?
Can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear, bro.
All right. Good. Just first want to say outstanding show last night. Want to thank you for continuing to bring us in the community, you know, quality content, bringing on guests to give us that, you know, nice, different perspective and educating the community and the fan base. So appreciate you for that. And salute to the guests today. I have a few questions. You know, today's a show where you just sit back and you're a sponge. And you just want to listen to you guys and see what you guys, you know, your takes are and, you know, what your thoughts are. You know, what do you guys think we should do with this point guard situation? You know, should we just draft? Should we trade for Dame Lillard? Should we – is there a free agent you guys would, you know, have in mind that the Knicks should sign? Like, how do you think the Knicks organization should address this position? I think it's an important thing because it's one of the most important offseason in recent memory here. And I think the way that they allocate this money will have a very much effect on the future and, you know, in how this team continues to progress. And in addition to that, what do you guys think about Luka Vildoza? What are your thoughts on him? And the last one, it's a little bit of a curveball. Mm-hmm. Bronny James, is this guy going to be anything? LeBron's kids, you know, I'm a Knicks fan. I'm looking at 2023 already. No, I'm just kidding. But, we see a lot of highlights. You know, it's just, you know, a little conversation kind of question. You know, what do you guys, have you guys done any research on him? Any projections? It's just interesting to me. So what do you guys think we should do for the point guard position? Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on Luka? And any little points on Bronny James. Bronny CP, James. Thank you.
Appreciate
Raphael,
it,
Raphael, Knicks draft guy. Love you.
Well, I would say focus on DeJuan Wagner's son. That's the guy.
Oh, is he? He's a beast. Young DeJuan Wagner's like his pops. He's getting buckets like that?
I think he's the number one player in his class.
Yeah, he's up there. Yeah.
Wow.
He's been sliding under the radar. I mean, like, his name is on, like, the list, but you don't really see, like, the huge hype behind him on YouTube or Instagram. Like, you see Mikey Williams, you see these other guys, but DeJuan Wagner's son is the truth.
Interesting. Now let's go to you on Vildoza, right? Because I think of the three of us, you've probably seen more film. Alex, I can't speak for you. I know for me, I didn't. What do you think about his potential at the next level? We've seen Campazzo do his thing for the Nuggets. He was a steady hand in Murray's absence. What do you think about Vildoza and his prospects?
He's from Argentina, and I think there's just been a follow the leader type deal with Argentinian prospects. And to me, I mean, when you think of Argentinian prospects, you think of the guys from that golden era when they had Ginobili and mm-hmm. Scola and, mm-hmm. and those guys. But they went to, I don't remember if they went to the championship game at the World Cup in 2019. I was at the games. I just don't remember the championship game. I know it's like Australia, France, Spain, and Argentina. So Argentina is obviously a small country known for soccer. But one of the things that they do best is, I mean, they get the most out of their players. Their players are smart. They all have, like, the same type of flash mixed with fundamentals.
Right.
And a lot of them end up going to Spain. So we saw, like, the guy that Minnesota drafted and stashed, Balmero. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be really good. He's from Argentina. Mm-hmm. So Vildoza fits, like, the stereotypical Argentinian guard, fundamentally sound. Would throw live ball, one-handed passes, has some flash and flair to his game, very competitive, maximizes his skill set. So he could be someone that, if he gets the right opportunity, that I think Knicks fans will fall in love with. As far as, like, how the point guard situation shakes out, I have no idea. I don't. Peyton is a free agent, right? So he's gone.
Yeah. Forget about him.
Frank is gone. So out of there. Is it just Rose and Quickly under contract?
No. Rose isn't even under contract. We got Rose nothing isn't. Right now. No, I think they
I,
would bring
I still
him
imagine
back.
Him coming back.
Yeah, me too.
Luka and IQ right now.
Me too.
I still think Rose comes back. I think he wants to be there, and he probably would even take less money to stay there.
I agree with you on that. I agree with you on all points. Alex, your takes on Vildoza and where we go at the point.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I haven't watched any kind of full games on him, but, you know, he's got some pretty looking highlights on YouTube, that's for sure.
They're all fun to watch.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it seems like he can make any pass in the book. So I'd be happy kind of, you know, rolling with him, maybe not as your starter, but giving him some minutes, right off the jump. And then, you know, maybe bringing Rose back, and then kind of having a point guard by committee with IQ. And then maybe if you draft like a Sharif Cooper or Trey Mann, one of those guys, I'm not a huge proponent of trading for Dame, as much as I love him, I think that the price is going to be probably too much. Yeah. And then, you know, what you have left on the roster, might not be enough to kind of boost you up above kind of where they finished this year, maybe up to like the 3-2 seed. Again, I think that shortens the timeline a little bit. I'd rather kind of keep this momentum going, keep the building going. Randall's only 26, 27. He's not old by any means. So I think you got, four more years of him coming up, with RJ's growth, with some of these rookies that are going to be coming in. I'd rather just grow it organically and see where it goes from there.
Yeah, I'm with you guys on Vildosa. I've been saying it since they got him that, there just seems to be a certain floor that these Argentinian players will come with, right? That, like, they have that mix of some flash, some flair, some fundamentals. They play hard. They play tough. Like, those are the common characteristics of those players. Now, Scola and Ginobili were kind of the outliers in terms of being, those global superstars. But a lot of these guys, whether it's Delfino, Nocioni, you see Campazzo come in, Knicks had Prigioni, they all play at a very, very high level of competent team-oriented basketball. And so I think he'll be fine with us. Now, does that mean he's our starting floor general? I'm not going to, bet my house on it. I still feel like we need to draft a point guard because the free agent class is not great. And whether you get Conley or Lowry, yes, they will help us. I think they will make this team better. I think they'll help our guys develop. But they're not long-term options.
Yeah. What do you think of Schroeder?
I don't want Schroeder. I don't want Schroeder.
I like him. I just think him going to L.A. was kind of hurt his stock a little bit. I think he's best used as a six man. I think if he's if the Knicks have a solid game manager, starting, and then you bring Dennis off the bench, he can manufacture points. He can get into the lane. So I like him. I just think that he's best used as a six man.
Yeah, if we're able to generate enough offense, I'm fine with him as a six man because then he can just come in and do what he does best. But, to put that on him, I just don't feel like I could trust him. And that's my thing. And then the Lonzo thing, Lonzo's interesting, but I just don't see them paying twice for him. I don't see them trading draft capital and then paying him to bring him in here. I'm not a Lonzo fan. I just don't see it.
I think he's good. I just don't think he's, half court kind of run your offense guard. Yeah. Great in transition. And can the shot is improved, but I don't think he's that great at running offensive sets and kind of orchestrating everything.
Yeah, and he doesn't want to get fouled. So I'm not a big fan of point guards that do not want to get to the foul line. And I mean, he's not as bad as Ben Simmons, but I've seen games where it's close and it's like a hot potato. He's giving the ball up as soon as he can because, he doesn't want that pressure on him.
Yeah.
If somebody's going to overpay him just because his class is weak, whether it's Chicago or I don't know, but I think somebody's going to overpay him.
And that's the thing. You're going to have to pay twice, right? You got to trade for him and then you have to pay him.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. Like I said, I think he can help us in certain ways. Running the half court sets might be something that, needs work on. Obviously the corner threes, he's there, defensively he's there. I think he can run pick and roll. I think he can get us out in a transition.
I don't even think he can run pick and roll because he's not going to the basket.
Well, I think that's part of the issue, right? I don't think that helps
Mitch or Obi. So
in transition, I think he could.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And RJ as well. I think that's where he could really excel.
He's like the one guy that his shooting percentages look decent, but I feel like teams still don't respect him. He still gets a lot of wide open shots. And he'll have a few games where he'll hit 4 out of 7 and then he'll go on a 2 for 30 and it still ends up balancing out to the high 30s.
Yeah. It's going to be tricky, man. But as I said, I still think we need to get something out of this draft. We have technically three first-round picks. If you want to look at 32 as that, I still think they need to try to come out of here. Definitely with a scoring option at the wing, but try to come out here with a guy that can play the point or that you might groom into the point because we just don't have any long-term answers. I think Rose will be back. I think they'll find a way to bring Rose back. Do they get into the Lowry sweepstakes? He's another guy that's going to want to get paid. I'm not so sure.
And let me just dump some back-end stuff for Kemba?
Hey, try to get Kemba out of Siberia? I mean, the Lakers are heavy on Kemba, man.
They would take Knox, Frank, 58.
Yeah.
I'll do that deal. Yeah, I would do that deal.
They'll take whatever draft 2041. Bring
Kemba home? Yeah. I mean, it's a couple years too late, man, especially with that knee injury, but definitely better than what we have right now. So,
yeah.
I'd probably just rather pay Kyle Lowry for 2 years.
Yeah.
And not give him anything but money.
I'm scared. Like, Kyle looks like he has a lot of time left, but we've seen guys just hit that 1 year and they just fall off a cliff. Like Nash with the Lakers. Right. That's what I'm scared of. And his style of play is suited to where, you know, he's still taking charges, still playing, you know, the winning type of basketball. But if his body holds up, I mean, he's a freak of nature. He's not getting enough credit for it.
See, I think it's still important, though, because given that the chances of us getting a superstar is slim to none this offseason, I still feel like you need to have someone with that dog mentality to take the pressure off of Julius. And it was never more present than in the playoffs, you know. And Rose was that guy. He was our leading scorer, but he just couldn't carry us long enough on those knees, man. So and then Lowry's the same thing. He's 35 years old, but mentally he can be that guy that you can go to take that pressure off Julius and RJ. You know, maybe RJ takes a turn. We'll see. But I think that's how Lowry could definitely fit and help us win some games. So
yeah, definitely.
Gonna be interesting to see, man. But fellas, I thought this was a great show. Shout out to Carlos Pena, who sends a super chat. He says, "How high would 1921 and Dallas 2023 pick get us?" I'm gonna look into that. I mean, I don't see in this draft. I don't see you getting that far up into the lottery. But you know, maybe low end lottery. I think.
You know, maybe to 10.
Maybe to 10.
I don't know.
Right. You're not getting Cade. I think Carlos is angling for Cade. You're not getting Cade with that.
No.
You know, so, yeah, we'll see. But certainly something to chew on. And then real quick, once again, Rafael, for the people that came in late, break the news for us once again on a potential sleeper pick that the Knicks are interviewing this coming Saturday.
Yeah, Vrenz Blankenberg, 6'10". Positionless, it's kind of hard to give him a position because I think he can play maybe 2 through 4. Decent shooter, but I think his best skill set is his versatility. Not many guys with his size and ball handling skills and upside as a shooter. I think that, you know, he needs to put on weight. He's a little skinny, but as far as like his fluidity, I think he'll be able to defend multiple positions also. With a creative coach, and it's questionable if Tibbs is the creative coach or not.
Yeah.
But I think Vrenz could really be a weapon. To me, he reminds me of peak Chandler Parsons. And, you know, if you're a Memphis Grizzlies fan, then you hate that. But this is Knicks fan TV. So you guys didn't pay him $90 million Oof. And have to see him wear street clothes.
We'll blame the knee injury, man. And it's injuries. Injuries kill Parsons, man.
Yeah, definitely. And they hated him in Memphis. Oh. And then you know, maybe even a little bit in Dallas also. But the player that he was, maybe like his last 2 years in Houston, the 1 year in Dallas where he averaged about 16, 5, and 5, I think Vrenz can be that type of player. Maybe even a best-case scenario, more productive, because I feel like the NBA started the change to favor Parsons' game right as he started to decline. But that is my comparisons for Vrenz.
Great stuff, man. So we'll see if his name is called on draft night, but another guy that the Knicks are bringing in. Fellas, great job. Great insights. We definitely appreciate it. Hopefully, as the draft gets nearer, we'll do our mock draft. We'll bring Corey back, have you guys on. We'll do a mock draft and see where the Knicks end up. And for the fans out there that tuned in, definitely appreciate everybody for tuning in as we get ready for the NBA Finals Game 2, if that's what you're into. But if not, hopefully we got your draft questions and comments addressed. So, Alex, let the people know where they can find you, man. Great, great job.
Yeah, on Twitter, at Knicks Draft. That's pretty much where I post Simple everything. And clean. Yeah, so pretty easy to find me.
At Knicks Draft. And Raphael, where can the people find you, man?
You can find me at Barlow500 on Twitter. And you can find all my video breakdowns for these draft prospects, including Vrenz and everyone that we've mentioned, except Grimes. I haven't done Grimes yet, but you can find that on NBA Draft Junkies on YouTube.
Yeah, and you also have an interview with Vrenz on your channel, right?
Yeah, I've done a couple podcast interviews with him. And like, I don't know if I mentioned it off air or on the air. I've talked about him so much today, but I was like early on the bandwagon. And so when I reached out to him, we did a few podcasts and, you know, I probably talked to him two or three times a week. So he's the one that allowed me to break the news about his workout with the Knicks. And this all came after a good showing at the, I don't know, I guess they're calling it the Minnesota Combine. Do they have an official name for it? But it's a combine.
That's what I saw, yeah.
Yeah, it's a combine they had in Minnesota. They brought in, I want to say, like 40 guys. And some guys were at the Chicago Combine. They ended up having to go back twice. But he ended up going to this one. I think he had some visa issues, so he missed the Chicago one. So, yeah, he allowed me to break the news, which I thought was pretty cool.
Great job, man. So we'll see what happens there. And so to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Hope you guys enjoy the show. Remember that tonight's show is presented by Manscaped. As usual, go to manscaped.com, enter promo code Knicks for 20% off plus free shipping on the Lawnmower 4.0. And definitely check out the Perfect Package 4.0, which is a great package for you guys as well. Also want to shout out one more sponsor, and that is my guys over at ZipChair, man. My guys over at ZipChair sent me a dope chair. Let me show you guys real quick. Hang on 1 second. So you got the custom Knicks Fan TV Zip chair with the CP insignia and the KFTV logo, man. So real dope, ergonomic, you know what I mean? Allows me to do what I do best. So shout out my guys over at Zip Chair. This is their top-selling gaming chair. So if you're interested in getting one for yourself with a personalized logo, they do any type of logos or embroideries, go to zipchair.com, enter promo code Knicks, and you can get 10% off your order. So shout out my guys at Zip Chair for sending me my custom chair. Also remember that this show is available in audio podcast format. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the major ones on the Knicks Fan TV. So no need to miss it. And yeah, man, great job as usual, guys. We will see you guys next week for another episode of